Well, I'll tell the young guns, like, hey, listen, you can be a lot less talented, and if you're really personable, you might even have a longer career.
That's my brand. That's my brand. I'm barely talented at all. I don't know how to cut fish. I'm not drinking right now, so when I drink coffee, it takes forever for it to kick in.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do ketone IQs at all?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
as a
very
matter of fact,
nice.
I have
good,
a whole.
Let's
I might
go.
Have one. I might have one.
I just had one.
I love them so much.
Fucking dragging.
Here we
in.
Go, ketone IQ.
I was dragging ass. Oh, you're better. They're better cold.
I have
so
funny.
A do you ever do HVMM?
He,
the original
he was already
formula?
Setting up. It looked like my favorite meal.
Do you
tacos.
Smell this?
So you know how you have all the individual.
Well, he's doing
things.
Sashimi.
I'm doing. I'm doing poke for you guys.
Poke.
This is
there
a Hawaiian
go.
Episode.
There you go.
Lair. Poke.
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 Poke. I'll have a little. That's like croquet.
Wait, what do you guys call it in Hawaii?
Pokey.
Pokey.
Pokey. Okay.
But in California, it's poke.
Yeah.
Poke. Yeah. Pokey.
You want a poke bowl?
I got a great fishmonger who got me the best piece of tuna you could ever get.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who picked your fish?
Leeway.
Okay.
It's at the joint over there. I ran into him. This guy was so great during the pandemic. This is what I miss about the pandemic. And I bet you guys didn't have the same pandemic we had because you guys were out there.
I bet
there.
You didn't have the same pandemic we had.
He would send over a box, a care package of whatever he had because he didn't have a ton of business. Oh. And he'd be like, whatever you want to pay me.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And then I always overpay because it was the best box.
Well, and also, you guys who know how to get fish, pick fish, they get their, they have their relationships. They
art.
Get the good fish first.
He
it's all that.
Well, there's an all art. His
yeah,
fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, they don't even touch. People always think that sashimi is best, like catch the fish, eat it.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I like, you need to hang it, bleed it, and it's, and probably 5 days maybe could be when it gets really, it's like aged beef or something. That's when it gets soft.
That's
like
what
it would be chewy otherwise.
That's what this does. He dry ages all his fish, so it's a little little drier, I think.
Yeah.
But
it starts to break down too, because the enzymes in it start to make it.
I can't imagine. I was just talking with my sister with you guys. You guys know so much about so much.
We're just old.
I'm your age. I'm not, no, I'm like a year younger than you.
No, you're not.
Oh, no. I know for a fact.
Just because you went to school for like 8 years doesn't mean we're the same age. Just because we went to the same college.
I've known of you guys separately and together since, I've known of you guys separately since probably ninth grade.
Exactly.
In ninth grade.
I wasn't popular in ninth grade. I had to be out in the world working for a minute. So the fact that you knew about me in ninth grade shows you that we're not the same age.
Yeah, I remember. It was like the...
But you were pretty hot in ninth grade.
Oh, thank you. Seems weird.
I was about to say something horrible. I was like, they all are, Laird.
And these are guys who have daughters.
Yeah, but I have ninth graders in my house, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
They're goofy as shit. They don't know who they are. Give me a 53-year-old with some testosterone in her.
There you go.
So, but Laird, you were in my favorite movie ever.
Oh, here we go. Here we are.
This is the thing that Laird will never
live
can I
down.
Just say that one thing is true. I know this just being Laird's partner for almost over 28 years.
Now you're really aging us.
Teenage love, honey. Is that people think that Laird is like Lance Burkhart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no.
It took me a second.
Like, but even to this day, they think... I mean, you were edgy. I always say Laird is not a politician.
It was typecasting. That's for sure.
Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah. Typecasting.
And even more so back then.
How did you get the role? For everyone, let's start this episode properly.
Okay, sorry.
Power couple. Two of the greatest athletes in their sports to ever live, which very suddenly did they meet, fall in love, have a great family, and then stay together. Laird Hamilton, Gabby Reese. But the movie we're talking about... Do you even know the movie? No one knows the movie. It's a movie that all the boys saw.
Well, I didn't know the movie until I met Laird, and then I kept hearing about this movie. And guys, okay, I'm sorry, I know I'm cutting you off.
No.
Guys that I was playing on the volleyball tour would call my house, this is in the days of answering machines, and leave monologues from the movie on my answering machine when I started dating Laird.
You tried so hard, you break your sticky.
That's what I'm saying. I think
Burkhart breaks boards.
Yeah, it's all that. I'm glad it's funny to you guys.
It was the North Shore, about this young artist out of Arizona who moves to Hawaii, Rick
from
Barnes.
The wave pool. From the wave pool. Yeah.
And he befriends
it's the
guy.
It's the Karate Kid of surfing.
It's the Karate Kid of surfing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Turtle was his Mr. Miyagi. That's well, right. I guess Rick was his, or the...
What's his...
Is that the guy from the medical show?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was
Gregory Harrison.
Gregory Harrison. Gregory the shaper? Harrison. The master.
Yeah, he was
shaper.
The master yeah. shaper, yeah. yeah.
It was such a great movie. And then it did take me a minute when the internet showed up or Laird started showing up all over the place to be like, shut up. He's cool as shit. Like, oh man, he's not that guy. But it's I told you this. I've spent more time Googling and watching videos of your husband than any one male with his clothes on. Like
at least they were on.
Yeah.
That was good. I do have
not like that. I literally that painting in the other room.
Yeah, that was sexy. Laird wants to know if he can take that home with him.
I can. Yeah, I'll give it to you. My daughters hate
it. I just want to know who posed. Did you pose for that?
I posed for it.
It wasn't just like a picture.
Mm-mm, posed. It was. I did a show called The Cabin on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And Donnell Rollins and Bobby Lee were coming over, and the whole idea was that I'd be posing for the picture, and they'd walk in, and Donnell did not like it seeing me naked, and Bobby took all his clothes off and laid in front of me.
That makes sense, actually. Seeing, I don't know either one of them, but watching them, that makes a lot of sense.
You grew up in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Did you have professionally wrestling scenes come down there?
But they were on the other island. I was on a remote island down a remote road with like one TV with rabbit ears and aluminum foil.
Do you realize what that's going to sound like to our kids now?
I know.
The idea that you maybe had three channels?
Three. And we had a bare tin roof. And if it rained during like the conclusion of the movie that you had to endure, you know, 2 hours of commercials and all the breaks, you couldn't hear it. So you'd go over by the TV to try to listen, but you could never even hear what was happening because the rain on the tin was so loud.
Like Hawaii blows me away. When I see, like we were talking about Hawaii a little bit, I'm friends with Nathan Florence and Koa Rothman.
Yep.
And when you see their lives, and not, I mean this with love, but like, how kind of simple their lives are. It's like work out, surf, hang out, skateboard if there's no waves. Like it's kind of beautiful in that it's not super weighed down. I feel like I'm doing 900 different things. I got a social media company. I got my podcast. I got three podcasts. I got a stand-up tour. I've got a TV show. I've got like all these different pots burning. And then when you look at it, and even you were like, he's itching to get on waves. I go, that would be so great.
I mean, there's a bliss to being simple that way. I mean, I think we've made things complicated. If you look at the way our lives have gotten, just in general, somehow in all of our technology to make everything easier, we've made everything a lot more complicated.
Well, it's even crazy to just see how surfing's changed.
That's right.
And that now it's not just surfing. It's being a social media content creator.
It's Laird's biggest nightmare.
We used to... No, but
it's my favorite thing about him. When you get clips...
You know Laird is not on social media.
But there's clips all over of him.
But the difference is, we were always excited to get a picture of us doing... Or a movie. Like, oh my gosh, the guy had a 8mm camera and he shot us. And I wonder, it's going to be amazing to see that in a month or two once they... You know, process all the film. Like that was going to be a great thing. Now we go out with a GoPro that morning. We shoot it all. We edit it and we post it that afternoon.
Yeah.
I always said we were doing it and we captured it. Now what you're doing is capturing it. That's what you're doing. What you're doing. That's your actually.
But how does it impact comedy?
Oh, it's
turnover.
It's changed our business. It's unrecognizable.
Because you can't feed the beast, though, right? I mean, I know you can play stadium, so that part. It adds a different, you know, you can access and get more people to gather, but does it, it feels like Laird's saying, where it's, you can't satisfy the beast.
Yeah, for us, I was sitting last night with, I don't mind saying his name, but one of the most brilliant comedians I've ever known, Dimitri Martin, one of the best comedians in the entire world. And we were talking about our careers and he said, you know, I wish it came natural to me to be on social media, but it doesn't, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, in my head, I go, just do anything, because I'm curious about you. But it's true, it just doesn't come natural to some people. Like some people just go, it makes them feel gross.
Mm-hmm.
I think you understand this more probably than him, but like We grew up hosting television shows. We grew up getting paid to show up and present ourselves. So social media, podcasting came very natural to me. I mean, I still can approach someone on the street and go, what are you eating? Tell me where you got it. Because I'm from doing Travel Channel.
And you're from Philly. You're from Philly. You got Philly in your
No, race. He's like, yeah, that is a very Philly tone, isn't it? Yeah. I think with Laird, Laird will say to me, is this what we're doing? Is this what our life is? Is this what we're doing? We're adding emails. We're finishing it. We're hitting the marks. Are we living? Are we experiencing? Are we enjoying our lives? Things like that, right?
Unfortunately, I've set myself up to need something that is very rare. So that makes for a lot of fishing.
But you realize,
a lot
of waiting. You realize that there's something cool in scarcity. Mm. And you've presented a scarce representation of yourself. So that if you're a fan, you've got to dig. I mean, I remember watching, this is the dumbest, but I remember the first time I ever saw anyone paddleboard, it was you and Eddie Vedder.
Oh, Eddie, yeah.
And you guys, I think you made him paddleboard to another island.
Stand up paddleboard. Yeah.
And I remember watching Eddie Vedder, who I know surfs, on a paddleboard, mm-hmm. and he was shaking it. And I was like, wait, hold on, that looks so much easier than he's making it look. And you, I think you were on like a 6'6 thrust, something like just paddling. Come on, Eddie. But I mean, like, it's crazy is that in scarcity, you present preciousness. Like, and when I flood myself with the internet, mostly to get rid of the shit I said in the past, but I flood myself on the internet, and I think ultimately that is, I don't know if you get that preciousness.
Do you think you have a time? Because, like, things are rolling and you have heat. Is part of it like, hey, this is the time that I can do all the things I want to do. Yeah. Like you go, hey, I want to do this show. I want to do this concert. I want to do this podcast. And so part of it is keeping your foot on the gas.
Yeah. Well, it's the make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah. Oh, is that it's how like, you feel?
But that's a super honest, humble way to approach it. Right. Like having, that's a humility. If you're like, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this. Whenever it comes, I'm going to take advantage of it and be thankful that I'm going to do it. And you're thankful by showing up on time, sober, and doing a good job. That's part of how you show you're thankful, not show up late, act like you're doing them a favor. Well, and, you know, so.
Well, you've seen that. I bet you've seen that come through your professions, both of you. The mega talented freshman, the mega talented rookie, the young kid who's got it all, and you watch them piss away their talents to either drugs, alcohol, or to just being difficult.
Yeah.
And you're like, you don't need to be difficult.
Nobody's that good. That's the thing you learn.
Too, I'll tell the young guns, like, hey, listen, you can be just a little less talented. And if you're a little more personable, you're going to have a lot longer career. Believe me, you're going to have and in fact, you can be a lot less talented. And if you're really personable, you might even have a longer career.
That's my brand. That's my brand. I'm barely talented at all. I don't know how to cut fish. You'll like this. I always say I surround myself with great white sharks and I'm a Mako. From the top of the water, you cannot tell that I'm not a great white shark. Even in the water, if I'm swimming fast enough.
The Mako's the fastest shark, by the way. It's not the biggest, but it's the fastest.
He's quick.
Yeah.
But he's no great white.
No.
He's no great white. So I surround myself with great whites and I'm a Mako. But you know what fascinates me about you, Gabby? You have reinvented yourself probably 9 different times. From like pro volleyball to professional model to television host to podcaster. I mean, the things you've done were guys like us, we've just done the one thing. That's fucking amazing to me.
I think you just follow the things that make you, that interest you. It's hard to do, but you have to be careful not to do what you think you're supposed to do.
Ooh.
You just have to do what, you know, you think interests you. Look, he's even making it chill.
I know. I see that.
Bert's getting fancy.
I'm putting it in the fridge. Yeah. I've got an appetizer coming out. We're making poke. We're also making
pokey.
We're also
somebody gave him a lesson or something. Somebody.
And they use poke.
Yeah.
I've got.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Spam.
I haven't had spam in a long time. I'll do that today.
Spam musubi.
Grill it. Paste it with a little sushi roll underneath.
Oh yeah, you spam musubi.
We had this young lady that used to help us with our girls, and she in high school she would do spam musubi, but she would do it with butter and brown sugar.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And then sell it when she'd go to
sell
school.
Sell it to school, and all the little kids would buy it from.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
brown sugar and butter. Anyway, that's probably a little too local.
Yeah, but you know why? You know why people are crave that stuff?
The fat organs.
The organ meat.
Yeah.
The ground organ.
It's like a hot dog.
The ground organ meat.
Oh, it's like ground everything. But,
yeah.
Is that spam? Is what spam stands for something, right?
everything that's left on the floor after you're done cutting up the...
So let's talk about diet. How did you guys meet?
I interviewed Larry.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Sophia's laughing.
When I saw...
Interviewed a lot of people. I'd just like to throw a disclaimer out there, first of all.
Before I say anything,
I am a professional, okay?
I had no interest. I was like, what's this bimbo going to ask me? I can't wait.
I didn't flirt with any of them. I didn't do any of that. And then I met Laird, and we lived together 8 days later.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And what did you know? Did you know of him before you interviewed him?
No. I mean, how? I did.
She
I
had
knew
some
because
things
I had to do
before.
All my homework. You know, and this is the days like you're getting faxes on people.
Yeah.
Because you can just go like, oh, I'm going to do research.
Not getting faxed, but getting faxes.
Faxes. Hey guys, there used to be a computer attached to a telephone. Wow, that's cool.
Into a printer.
Because I needed, information. You know, if you had a guess, I needed information and I couldn't. Well, I had a boyfriend at the time, actually.
Sticky Rice.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't make that.
You had a boyfriend.
You had a professional.
There's an art.
Did you?
No, I did.
There's an art.
Did you have the? I had a boyfriend at the time. Quite frankly, I'll just say it directly. He's lovely. We still see him occasionally, and he's always like, "Oh, hey guys." And he said to me, "He goes. Well, what shows are you doing? Because I was always doing really cool sports, and I go, oh, Dave. You know, Dave." Robbie Nash, windsurfing, and this and that. And I go, and some guy named Laird Hamilton, and he got really fired up.
Really?
Yeah. So, and then there was a couple other things that happened.
He got pissed off.
He got fired up. He went like, fuck yeah!
No.
Well, hell yeah, I'm about to lose you!
I probably did him a favor. You did him a favor. It's not all a walk in the park. Have you ever made them? Did you practice before
No,
we got
I've never
here?
Made, that's
These
part of the
really
show.
Really pretty.
Is that
nice hair.
Something's burning. I just don't know how to cook.
Do you
I just
nervous?
Like it.
No. Do you ever get nervous?
I get nervous before I shoot a special. That's the only time.
That makes sense.
And it's just because it's like, you worked so hard for it. You want it to be...
Perfect.
Yeah, you want it to be perfect. You don't want any flubs.
Do you feel more pressure or the same?
The older I get, the less pressure I'm feeling. Because I do have a body of work. I do have... Like, this isn't my one show. Like, my first special, my buddy who produced it was a guy I grew up with, and he watched me the first two nights we weren't filming, and he was like, God, man, you are money. Do you ever bomb? And I went, sometimes. And the first show, I bombed so hard. And the second show, like, I went to go tell a joke, and I stepped on the mic cord at the punchline, and it pulled away from my mouth, so they didn't hear the fucking punchline. That's how bad it was. And then... second show, there was a joke I had about, I took, Isla had a parent-teacher conference. I was hungover and I grabbed two Diet Cokes and a coffee. I killed the coffee. And when the meeting started, I cracked a Diet Coke, put it to my lips and realized I had a Coors Light. And then the joke that popped was, I was like, that's a game time decision, gentlemen. What kind of man are you? It's like a finger in your ass at an orgy. Do you pull away from it or do you push back into it? I go, I push back into it and I killed that Coors Light. And the place started thundering. And I went, and then you just go, oh, I'm in the sweet spot. And I rode that energy all the way through, and I had the most monster set I've ever had. It's the best set I've ever had in my entire life to this day.
Now, do you have a big come down after that?
Oh, my God. You guys, you must be a dream to be with after
that. You get the post-traumatic.
Here,
and it changes when you probably, I mean, the more experience you get, too.
Yeah.
You start to get used to that. You're like, hey, I know I'm going to come down off this. I know I'm going to question it. You don't question it as much because you've done it so many times, too.
They
right?
have it in big wave surfing.
It's like post-traumatic. We call it post-traumatic. Uh-huh. It's just an interesting.
By the way, a hint of Spam. I'm not going to lie to you.
Nice work.
A hint of Spam.
Very good.
Not enough to poison you, I don't think.
I'll make it. I've eaten a lot worse things that didn't taste nearly
and
as good.
And I came here hungry. Are you still?
I'm
saying like in a good way. We came hungry.
What do your dietary restrictions look like now? Like for real?
I don't restrict myself from anything. I just.
Oh, dude, how many bagels have you had last week?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. but the thing is that it's if I want it, I'll have it.
Well, eating less, like eating like
But I just eat real food. I think people have this whole thing, like, a lot of times with Laird and I, they'll come over and they won't try training with us, or they, oh, you guys don't eat that ever. And I'm like, it's actually not like that, because you can't do it for as many years as we've been doing it and hope to continue to do it.
Yeah.
Unless it's a lifestyle. Like, yeah, and it can't be so, I had a friend that I knew that was probably the most picky eater.
Turbo?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And he was, I mean, it was ridiculous. It would take him 3 hours just to get all the ingredients he needed to make his first meal of the day. And the stress around it was far worse than if he just ate something that was no good.
And you're annoying to be around. That's the other thing. Nobody invites you to dinner.
Yeah.
So we don't have any of that. We have friends that we don't invite to dinner because they're way more brutal than us.
We talked about this a little bit, but how often as parents did you have to bite your tongues and go like...
This morning?
On everything. Which thing? Which bucket?
Wait, which day, which time? Every day, all the time.
I just walk
around with a bit tongue. I'm just walking around.
You would think I think we're very direct parents, but we are, especially me, and Laird is very nice about this, where he in some ways defers to me because I know he doesn't always agree. I'm a lot softer of a parent than you would think. I'm just trying to be a good example.
Yeah.
Well, we have a friend of ours that we heed her advice, and she does some great work. And I asked her one, as parents, in her opinion, what's the most important thing you can do? And she goes, be happy.
Yeah. And listen, without fixing their problems.
Somebody tell that to my daughters.
Be happy and let so that they can see what happiness looks like. So,
But the listen part too.
Yeah. Well, and listen.
Listen, Laird's like, yeah.
No, but be happy. Show them what happiness looks like. Because no matter what you say, they're just watching you anyway, right? They're just
especially
watching
daughters.
What you're doing.
You know, my dad used to go up behind my mom and he'd grab her and go, look at this woman. Like, it was like really fun. And I do that to Leanne because I think I saw my dad do it so much. I was like, it's okay. Like, if your dad doesn't kiss you on the cheek, or as a kid, then you're not going to kiss your kids on the cheek. But I watched my dad like kind of love my mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's okay to love on your wife in front of your kids.
It's really healthy.
I think. Because then they're going to see that and they're going to go, that's what happens when you find somebody that loves you, is they love on you. And so if you want that for your daughters, then good idea. Like, if you want them to be with somebody who nurtures them and cares for them, then definitely show them that.
All right, so this is how we work poke, okay?
Pokey.
We'll put it on the rice, and then we'll let you cover it with whatever you want, and then hopefully
we'll devour.
This is really beautiful.
This is luxury.
Well, thank you.
Had I known, I would have driven faster down that freeway.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's what
but Gabby was already like this.
Oh my God.
Wait, are you guys, what kind of cars do you guys drive? I'm always fascinated by that with like, not celebrities is the wrong word, but with like famous people who goes like, I remember seeing Bobcat Goldthwait and I was like, what kind of car do you drive? And he was like, oh God, I wish you hadn't asked me that today. He was like, I just had to get a new car. I used to have the best car and now this car doesn't fit my personality. And I was like,
well, as long as I've known Gabby, she likes, because of her height, but she likes high cars. And I grew up with trucks. So we like higher vehicles.
We have Range Rovers, Defenders, and then trucks to haul stuff.
And Defenders.
So here, we've got all these toppings that you can put on it. This is
Chef Kreischer. Nice job.
Mango.
Yeah. Nice work.
We got Defenders.
Really?
Defenders and.
And Laird can turn any car into a sports car pretty much. He can turn a F-250 into a sports car.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
You'd be surprised.
Bobbing and weaving on a freeway, no problem.
You'd be surprised how narrow of a gap a big car can go through.
I can tell you why they call it that handle right there. Holy cow.
What's the black seed?
That's a sesame.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just more exotic. Here you go. And it'll be, it'll be really great is when you smile and be like, hey.
Oh, you have it all in your teeth?
Yeah, for sure. You have pepper in your...
Oh.
This is amazing.
I love, and I got dessert for you guys. Guess what I have? Can you guess?
At least make it interesting.
I'm scared.
Don't tell me like, no sugar added sorbet.
Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Chocolate?
Hawaiian shaved ice.
Hey, here we go.
We don't eat it at home, so I'm excited.
I know, it's my favorite thing. It's my big, like this is.
Do you wait online?
Well,
like everybody?
Yeah. Oh yeah. As a matter of fact.
When we drive by the places, I go, oh God. These guys with their shaved ice.
The good ones used to be the one in Hollywood always had ice cream at the bottom.
Oh.
Laird, this is going to tell you how shallow I am. When that fire went through, I said to my wife, did they get our shaved ice place? She was like, honey, it's bigger than the shaved ice place. And I was like, no, but is the shaved ice place, is it gone?
Still there.
She was like, the families that lived around it, they're all gone. Like, it's bigger than the shaved ice place. I go, what about the tree? Was the tree still there? She's like, you got to, don't post this online.
No, it's like half the county.
Yeah, really.
That was horrific.
This is great.
It is good.
Do you surprise yourself sometimes?
Yeah.
You know, I love the expression, follow the simple instructions. Because it's amazing sometimes when you do that, what happens?
Well, that's an interesting pivot. I've always been able to do very stressful activities like skydiving or bungee jumping is a bad one, but like we did a helicopter drop into the water where it flipped upside down. It was in a mechanism for the military.
Yeah.
And all I did was follow the very small instructions. That's it. And the guy's instructions were hands on your arms, wait till it rests, track, open the door, take your hand, track it back. And it was like very simple instructions. And I wonder if that is the same as like getting taken under by a big wave. If you go, just cover your head, roll, let the chaos settle down.
I don't think it's the same.
Okay.
I think when you talk about the wave, I think you're talking about something else.
Yeah.
That force, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think it is something where it's like a helicopters or not quite as much force.
Yeah.
Where they know, hey, if it goes wrong, we're going to do A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. When you're in a wave, I don't know. I could be wrong. What do you think, Larry?
I think submission first. Be, you know,
submission first.
Submit. Yeah. Let it. Mm. Let it take you. Let it do what it wants with you. And then when it lets up, then you make your move. But it's like trying to go up against some, you know, a force so far greater than you. You don't resist against it.
You feel like you have a different perspective of life and interacting in life because you understand mortality.
I definitely think that your relationship with death affects the way you live.
But think about all the physical sports, the most humble athletes like hockey guys, all the guys that have to bang into each other and know there's a lot of, you know, they're all humble because they are around a little force and they know.
There's a kindness to an MMA fighter that a lot of regular men don't have.
Yeah.
I was just at a bar with Nate Diaz and he just was like, it was oddly pensive when he was like, well, you get recognized a lot. And I was like, yeah. He's like, that's really crazy. And like people are, you know, bumping into him and he's just like backing up. And I go, he could murder anyone in here. And I think if you gave that power to someone that for a day, they'd abuse it.
Of course.
But when you gain it over a period of time, you all of a sudden you respect it.
Yeah.
I guess. Completely. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, I think that there is, and there's always exceptions. Mm-hmm. I think when you know how to hurt people, you know you can be hurt. Like you go, hey, and by the way, there's always somebody badder, no matter who you are. Like I don't, and if you think there's not, you're gravely, you just haven't met him yet.
I think,
might be a bear, like a real bear, not like a play bear.
I also think that's that comes with growing up in Hawaii, because those dudes, like as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed child, I can't imagine life was super easy for you.
Yeah.
And so I look at, and I know that they do not have a problem. Like by the way, I'm so terrified of the, like even like hanging out with Koa, him explaining his dad, Eddie. And he was like, you should talk to my dad one day. And I was like,
I was thinking,
Eddie Rothman is like a bad motherfucker. Okay. Even at what he's like 60 years old, he's still a bad motherfucker. Like, and so I go, I get nervous even saying his name, you know?
Good idea.
Yeah. That's true.
But also I think there's something, it's a little bit more like the jungle. You know, when you think about how dangerous a jungle is, and especially when you don't understand a jungle, then it's really dangerous, but when you understand it, it's less dangerous. I think there's some valuable lessons that you get being raised in a jungle that can help you throughout out your life.
There was the girl in Maui that went on a hike and got lost for fucking 17 days.
Exactly.
And she was only 7 miles from the road, but she walked 40 miles in a circle.
Exactly. No, exactly. I'm just, exactly. That, for that, as an example.
That's like when we watched that movie. What was it?
Which one?
Into the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
the soundtrack is beautiful because of Eddie Vedder, right?
Yeah.
And I said to Lord, oh, this movie, he goes, he was next to the road. He was not impressed. I was like, okay.
And, by the way, and like, he ate a poison plant.
Yeah.
So he went and got some plants and ate them. They were poisonous, and he was in the thing next to the road. And then they're like, don't be like.
I go, Lair took all the mystique out for me.
He goes, he's right next to the fucking road.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, so does that mean we're not watching this film?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, weren't.
It was a stupidity thing. They glorified it, but it was like, it was a stupidity thing. It's like,
what was the last movie you guys watched together that you really liked?
The last movie I really liked, I actually didn't watch with you. It's She Came For Me with Peter Dinklage. It's a beautiful story. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie.
There was one I thought was garbage.
Which one?
Oh, it was the one everyone liked with Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. Flowers of the Killer Moon.
I couldn't do it.
I was like, what the fuck?
I didn't do it.
And then Leanne's like, it was a book. I was like, I would have burned that real quick.
Way to ruin the book.
I love it.
Way to ruin the book.
I love going to a movie, though. Sitting in a movie theater. Oh, my God. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
When I met Gabby, she would go to the movie alone and just go to movies.
Uh-huh. Because crazy to me. When I'd see people go to the movies by themselves, when I moved to New York, people would go to the movies by themselves, and I'm like, the fuck? People know you don't have friends.
No, but then you go there as an escape.
And then you do it by yourself, and you're like, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm treating myself.
It was so good. I like to go on the escape, but that's why I love comedy, actually.
Yeah.
Because also comedy is very smart, and I appreciate people who have the gift. And also to say a lot of the things that we can't say. But if somehow I know you're kind of a schmuck and you're doing it, I don't actually get it. I don't like it as much.
Well, that's the whole basis of cancel culture. Like, people say cancel culture is not real. It's totally real. But for some people, it was finding out that your brand you presented on stage wasn't adjacent to the man you really were. Mm. And that was what was really got people in trouble, is when you presented one thing on stage, and then when they found out you maybe did dirty stuff behind closed doors.
I think that's an unfair expectation. Yeah. Especially when people don't realize, like, 4 or 5 days a week, what it takes.
But there are big.
But it's like Howard Stern for me was the funniest when he was married with his kids. Because then I was like, oh, I'll go totally on the journey with you on the other side. Because I know kind of like.
You're describing Leanne's job security. Leanne, I will never cheat on her, because if I do, I lose my fucking career. Like, because everyone's like, oh, he can talk shit about his family, but you know he loves them.
But that's
the second I do something dirty, everyone's like, fuck that guy. He's a liar. He was a cheating. If you cheat once, you cheat the whole time. And so I'm like, oh, fuck.
Maybe that's it. If, like, you feel like that person's showing up in their life.
That's why I'm not going to cheat on my wife.
Because
I want money.
Yeah.
That's a good disclaimer. But the truth is that you're smart enough to know that you don't want the pain.
Yeah.
And you might
my wife away is one thing. Take my career away? What?
Hold on. No, I'm talking about stomping on your heart.
Yeah.
Taking your heart out and just
I would not be able to. I would not be able to operate in a world without her. I would just. Earlier today, Cheech and Chong came over, and I got definitely higher than I've ever been as a grown adult. And at one point, I found myself holding her hand, and I was just talking to her. Someone goes, "Oh, that's so cute," and I go, "No, I'm holding on to the earth." And then she was
"I'm stabilizing."
She's like, "You should go into bed and take a nap." I was like, "Good call."
I was gonna say, "How are you awake right now?" If I do anything,
I took a solid nap.
You did, because I'm the only one. I'll do edibles for sleep.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could be like, oh, let's go shoot for three, you know.
I can't do edibles. They take a long time to get out of my system. But if I smoke weed, I think because I've also put such a dent on my system at times that I have a pretty quick rebound.
Is that what you tell yourself?
Yeah. I have a pretty good tolerance.
You call it rebound, I call it tolerance.
Although I did tug the tiger's tail today, and part of me is like, Leanne's not home, it's me and Isla. I go, Isla, let's go out to dinner, get a martini, and go fucking talk. And then once you pour a drink with Isla, hands are on the table, and she's like, let's tear apart Mom and Georgia.
I always like to watch the dad surrounded by all the daughters and wives, you know. It's like, I always look at Laird.
You just see confusion on my face.
A lot of times Laird sits in a chair, and he just kind of like, this, and you know, I think waves are way easier, big ones even.
Yeah.
No more problem. Predictable. They're definitely more predictable.
Yeah. Arenas are so much easier to connect to people than your children. It's so easier to connect.
It's universal.
Yeah. It's just, it's like I want, it's so much easier when I'm in control of the thing as opposed to the thing is in control of me.
Yeah.
And especially with vulnerability, like I didn't sign up for that shit. Like,
yeah. Well, and when it's, I mean, I think with, for my experience with especially girls, you know, having daughters, is that you can't do what they, you can't be them and not do what they're going to do. So you just kind of have to sit, even though when something happens, it's going to hurt you, but you just got to sit back and kind of go, okay, well, there they go. There they drive out or there
well,
they go.
Well, how about with the driving? Just, there it just, goes, because my youngest daughter now is driving, but when she was practicing, oh my God, with
well,
the
first
permit.
Of all, you're supposed to ride in the car. So she's riding with the car. So they go in the morning and they come. She comes back home after. And it's a different day. So I'm like, you know what?
Okay, no.
You're not allowed.
My daughter,
to die. She's like, I'm not her friend. I go, it's fine. But you're not allowed to go because it affects my
said,
day.
Tell them what you said. So I go, oh, no. And my daughter, Brody, goes, oh, I can't drive with you. I need to drive with Dad. Right? Always. Okay. And normally I'm the one. Uh-huh. And on this, she was like, or Dad, Larry would be out of town. When's Dad coming home? I cannot drive with you. And then Larry goes, I just realize I'm more willing.
More prepared to be hit with an airbag.
Airbag.
So I'm like, you know what? Today's a good day for an airbag. I'm ready to take one right in the face.
Because I'm like, she's like, I didn't even come close to getting into an accident. I go, I don't know if that's the goal. And Larry's just like, whoa, the cliff. Oh, I'm just like, oh my God.
When Georgia was driving, I wasn't allowed to drive with her because I'd make her fucking crazy. And then I remember one time I was like, because what I do is I profile the drivers around me.
Yeah.
Based on their car. Look, if you got a rear view mirror that's held on with duct tape, I'm profiling you.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I know you don't give a shit about your stuff.
A Camry.
Yeah. If it's an Odyssey, I'm like, this is an Orthodox Jewish woman driving next lane. Like, and Georgia's like, you're racist. I'm like, no, I'm just making sure we stay alive.
Yeah, this is profile.
Yeah. I'm like, and I was like a Subaru with a Gore Clinton sticker, and I go
high speed.
get around him. Yeah.
High speed.
Just make it to 25. Just stay alive.
Just live.
Yeah.
Just live.
Alive.
Just be alive.
You can work it out.
And then we can deal with.
You can
we'll
work
figure
it
out what's gonna go.
You can work
Snoop
it all
told
out.
Me. Tell the girls, no pills, no powder. That's the
rule.
That's
it. Just
no pills, no powder. If you want to smoke weed, great. I'd rather you smoke weed than drink alcohol. Personally, I think it's just so much. I know alcohol is my brand, and I love it, and I'll never break up with it. But it just is for children. I don't think it's meant for them. It's meant for older people.
They had there was a culture, like an old culture, that they wouldn't even let you drink until you were 50.
Yeah.
Like that was like the, like you weren't even allowed, you weren't even allowed to have any alcohol until you're 50
years old. I don't think you should talk until you're 30. Wouldn't that be great?
Men,
like you
sure.
get vocal
for
cords,
sure,
but you can only say stuff like, can I take your order? And then they give out.
Yeah.
That's an old joke.
What's your number?
All right, shaved ice.
Okay.
Is there ice in here right now? Do we need fresh ice in here? I swear to God, I bought this for you.
Look at it.
It's gorgeous.
It's a Japanese shave ice machine.
It's my favorite thing about Hawaii. Let's do our favorite things about Hawaii. And it's hard for you guys because you live there, but try to take a step back and remember the things that you loved about Hawaii. Number one thing I love about Hawaii is the aloha spirit in that hello, goodbye. You're not here forever. Like,
oh,
I love
that's
that.
That's
how
you take it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why it's good. Mm. It's like a one-night stand. And Hawaii never lets you down. They want you to come back, but they don't want you to stay. So they're like, hey, have a great time. But remember, come on,
aloha.
Keep going.
Yeah,
aloha. I love
there's
that word.
Aloha, and then there's like aloha.
Yeah, yeah.
Aloha.
Yeah.
What was it like the first time you paddled out into Pipeline?
Do you remember how old you were? There.
I know, but how old were you?
I was a little kid. I used to get sucked out to sea at Pipeline when I was like 5 years old. So I mean, I did. That's where I learned how to swim. I learned how to swim at Pipeline. Literally, I learned how to swim. That I used to get sucked out in I used to get taken out in the rip so often that the lifeguards would come to my mom's house and say, Laird's in the rip again. You got to keep him out of the water because we can't be rescuing him. That's like the third time this week. that's my relationship with Pipeline. So I started at a really young age.
Well, Laird, what's your favorite part of Hawaii?
people ultimately. I mean, places are about people, right? Like you travel at the end of the day. Yeah. First, it's about the people. Because you can go to the nicest place in the world, but the people suck, then it's like, that's not fun, right? I don't care how nice the place is if the people aren't special. And so I think
that's what I love about Florida. Like, they're broken people, but they're my people.
Yeah.
Like, I am so fucking Florida. Yeah. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're Florida that got out into the world a little bit.
Oh, look, now he's getting cocky now.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Now he's getting cocky. You know, when you're talking about pipeline, the thing about pipeline too is that there's a pecking order in the lineup, like.
Yeah.
And in a way, every surf spot has it in the world, which keeps organization. It actually makes everything run better. If it was just a free-for-all, it's a problem. And there's a whole pecking order to that lineup. And then there's everybody going down, you know, as you go down the list, and the guys at the bottom get the leftovers.
It's like that at the Comedy Store.
It is? Oh, yeah. You hear stories about, like, what, guys dropping in that have big names, and they just bump whoever?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen as much anymore.
But it's essential, too. It doesn't?
No, it doesn't. Okay, we'll start.
No, you didn't practice that either. That's just an intuitive. You've watched it from your own experience.
I've got tiger's blood, pineapple, cherry, and blue raspberry.
Whoa. Say that again?
Tiger's blood, which is my fucking favorite.
Okay.
I'd go that.
Cherry, blue raspberry, and pineapple.
I'll try. Actually, I'll go different than you guys. I'll do the pineapple since I know y'all are going to do the tiger's blood.
And then do you want condensed milk on yours?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going, let's go.
Yeah, right?
I mean, can you imagine? No.
That would be like...
That's my daughter's.
That's like a year's worth of a dessert in one night.
Is that gluten-free?
Yes, it is.
It's like
I've eaten so many of these getting ready for this episode.
Oh, my goodness. I go first.
Take a look at that. Take a look.
That is beautiful.
I mean, that looks so good. I'm going to get fucking crazy on these things.
Should I wait for you guys?
No, start.
No, because it's a shave ice, babe.
Okay, do you want me to tell you how good it is?
No. Is it good?
It's very good. I'm gonna say the pineapple is yummy.
Yeah?
And the condensed milk really puts it over the top.
You gotta dig down into it. I like it.
So who are you guys voting for? No.
I was like...
What a great transition.
I don't know.
I know, I'm not, I never would talk about politics.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
What's the gummy stuff on the bottom? That's so fascinating.
This is what they do in Haleiwa.
Haleiwa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Haleiwa.
Yeah,
that's Haleiwa. That's where the good shave ice is.
Yeah, tiger's blood? Oh.
Yeah.
You want tiger's blood?
Yes, please.
That's my favorite shaved ice. Yeah,
do you know right that there. I don't think I've ever eaten shaved ice.
Are you serious? That's all I do in Hawaii.
Really?
My big goal was to surf. My big goal was to surf.
Okay.
And I...
You have friends now there.
I lost weight, and I did Jamie
Why
O'Brien.
Surfing?
I did it when I was a kid. We did it. So I made a goal. I was still fat, and I lost a bunch of weight. And I got up at Jamie O'Brien Surf School. They took me out. Me and Georgia, my daughter, right before she went to college, mm-hmm. we went and did it.
Awesome.
And we got up a couple times. It was fun. And then
Is that Waikiki? Are they doing it
there? No. They're doing now in Waikiki. It's in the North Shore,
right?
Turtle Bay.
Okay. Oh, great.
And then you lost
a bunch of weight?
And now I've lost a bunch of weight. And
are you going to go, you want to go shred it up?
Well, so I went one time in Jacksonville. No, San Diego. We were in San Diego. And I, for the first time, got myself into the water, paddled myself, caught a wave, stood up, and rode it in. And it was the most magical experience I've ever had, where it's really just the coolest fucking thing in the world. And so I said, I'm going to keep doing that. I want to keep doing that. And so when Isla graduates, we're going to go down to Hawaii, and I'm going to go and by the way, I was like, I'm just going to pay a surf instructor to go out with us. I'd rather do that than...
Oh, yeah. It's smart. Are you kidding? That's
totally
smart. Yeah. They give you the right board. They help you out. That people see them, then they're cooler. I mean, I'm sure people are very friendly with you, but...
People are friendly with me.
But still, it's nice to have a guy who could be like, also, go on this one, because it gives you confidence, like, I'm going to go.
What was that term yesterday? I learned something about the deluge. Buried Atlantis or whatever.
Oh, like
11,300
years
ago.
Laird loves history. And what is it? You like Dan Carlin, right?
Hardcore history? Dan fucking Carlin is the GOAT.
Let me tell you something. I had lunch with the goat one time.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
I did. Oh, yeah. I had lunch with him.
I'd be like, let's just talk about Martin Luther's...
How about Genghis? Give me the 6th episode of Genghis.
I mean, I recite facts about Genghis Khan at dinner parties where people are like, huh? How do you know so much about...
Genghis Khan, the making of the modern world.
Do you know how they could shoot a dove on a horse with all four hoofs at the same...
And they had like, it was like 150-pound pole. You can't even... Yeah. Most people couldn't even pull the thing back, and they were just going like this.
Yeah, Dan Carlin,
the way he tells the stories and like
I think about the Germans going into Moscow, and during the winter when he describes it, I think of that all the time. I think of that all his choice of words were so beautiful. Mm. But like Dan Carlin, I'm obsessed with him. And then all of a sudden. He's a historian, though.
He's like.
Laird would come home, and our garage is on the bottom, and like my house is above, and I'd hear, wah, 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 and he'd sit in the car still.
I'd pull in the car and then just not come in for like an hour.
Dan Carlin. Oh. I'm like, homie's
She's on like,
Dan
honey,
Carlin.
You've been home for an hour. Where were you? I'm like, oh, is this at that, you know, episode 3? Yeah. I was at the last, you know, last hour.
This morning, I turned Isla on to, we listened to a survival podcast, meaning of these. One of the ones was the girl in Maui who got stuck in the jungle for 17 days. One of them, the one today was about a guy, a scientist who, a boulder crushed his leg on a undiscovered, an untrekked mountain in the Himalayas. And he was stuck there, and we were listening today. And then we pulled into the school, and she's like, screw it, I'm already late. Just let's finish the podcast.
And I was learning more probably in the podcast than you would at school.
Do you ever listen to the podcast? There was one I listened to of... This astronaut told the story of getting stuck outside the space station and having to get back in, and the only thing he had was a picture of his daughter in his mask. And there's so much great content out there that I'm like,
how do you have time?
I listen to podcasts nonstop. When I get in my tour bus after a show, I'll take a hit of a vape pen, I'll get in my bunk, and I'll start a podcast. Like Napoleon, I'm like, I'm in. I'm fascinated by fucking.
Did you see that movie?
Was it good? I loved it.
Maybe that's what we could watch together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved
it. He's amazing.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, yeah. He's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you always think something is really about to happen. Like with him.
Yeah.
So he's you're like, something's going to happen.
Do you remember when he did the movie with Casey Affleck and they were doing the documentary about him being a DJ?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was mesmerized by them. No. He's one of those guys. I don't have this in me. Like, I don't know how the fuck you can just be cool as shit and everyone notices. Like, I'm the one going like, hey, did you see me over here? Like, that guy's just cool as shit.
But it also feels like something is...
tormented.
Like, and the train could maybe fly off the rails.
That's
so you're just like, oh, what's going to happen over there?
Yeah.
There's something in the bit of that vibration, too.
That's the coolness. Leanne always tells a story of Han Solo. So they offered the role to Tom Selleck.
Oh.
And they were like, Tom Selleck. And then at the last minute, they're like, I don't know. There's nothing dangerous about him. Mm. Like, he's a good-looking guy, and he seems confident and cool, but there's nothing dangerous. And they're like, that's the carpenter that's been doing running sides with Mark Hamill.
Wait, is that for real?
Yeah. Harrison Ford
had been running sides with him.
He ran everyone's sides with everyone just as a favor to the casting director.
Come on.
I swear. Why?
Well, no, I believe you.
I shot a movie
with
Mark Hamill. I know intimate secrets.
And I tell
all of them. I'm so sorry, Mark. Mark's told me so many secrets, and I'm like, what? And so they were like, there's something dangerous about him.
And still. He could look like maybe he could punch you out in 1 second. He still has that vibe. What is he, 80 years old? And he's doing Shrinking or something? Uh-huh. He's on a show. It's very good, actually. It's very funny. And he still has a vibe that, like, if you just say the wrong thing, he might punch you out. It's great.
I wish I had that vibe. I have the, I don't know what vibe I have. I have the desperate vibe. I have the, like, this guy won't shut the fuck up. Like, Jesus Christ, when are we going to get the fuck out of here, Bert? We live in Malibu.
Laird has many vibes too, I think.
And you know he's a super talented athlete, right?
Yeah,
it's like
course.
Undercover, the guy who can do everything very quickly.
Of course.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I seen him. I know those kind.
Yeah. Like, how do you do that? Oh, okay.
And that's the kind, like, what You mean that's the Brett Lickle kind?
Totally.
Like, oh, what's this game? You mean, yeah. Tack, tack, tack. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, first time, huh?
Yeah, that too, maybe. It's true. Yeah.
You know, we call that Clubhouse? I mean, Country Club.
Yeah, where you can do every sport.
That, my friend's nickname, Country Club. I go, anything shuffle, board, ping pong, pool. Oh. Just what you name it.
Yeah.
Basketball.
By the way, Tom Segura said, he's like, I'm taking tennis lessons. And I said, I'll destroy you.
Yeah, same.
And he goes, no, I aced him.
But hopefully he doesn't break anything.
37. Times. I aced him 37 times and he couldn't put the ball in there. He's like, how do you know so many different serves? I go, I don't know, man. It's an urban myth.
Yeah, like, but it's the,
Rogan talks about it quite
it's the
frequently.
It's baseball.
About your secret.
We went, my favorite clip ever, there's a clip out there that someone can find it of Joe and Tom talking about me, and someone edited, it might have been me. Someone edited, I bet it was me. I'm certain it was me. But when we were doing the show,
somebody do that.
Someone did it for me. I didn't do it myself. But I was on set with Snoop Dogg, and there was an archer, and I said, and I'm a really good archer, and so, but randomly, so I said, hey, can I try? And Snoop Dogg, there's no way you're gonna hit it. You're not even gonna come close to the target. And from like 70 feet, I hit a bullseye, and was like, there is a weird thing. Like I probably couldn't do it twice. If you give me one shot at it, I'm going to hit it out of the park.
Yeah. I've heard that.
That's why I want to go big wave surfing at Jaws with you. Just toe in and get right out.
Just one.
Just toe in and get out.
Get one. Yeah. Ride it, be done, be like, yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah, and be like, that's not that bad, guys.
That might be that survival mechanism that you have.
Yeah.
That just protect you. Like, hey, if he can pull this off one time, then we don't have to worry about any of the dangers.
Yeah, I'm gonna come work out at your house with you guys.
Okay. You guys were supposed to come when Tom
broke his knee.
Do you know that?
Secret time.
But wait,
Tom Segura. No. We never shared that with him. No. Because what was happening was, Tom and I were supposed to work out with Laird and Gabby. At their house.
In the pool. Which, by the way, you would have been safe.
We would have been totally safe. And Tom said, it's all the way out in Malibu. I don't know if swimming's going to be interesting. Let's play basketball.
But it was not swimming.
Because Tom's not that smart.
Okay. No, he's very smart.
And so he goes, let's just go. So every one of our agents thought we were going to your house, okay? Every one of our agents knows I like to party. Every one of our agents thought we were at your house, and they thought that Tom and I got in a car accident in a DUI coming home, and we pretended that we were playing basketball. Everyone was like, what really happened? Tell us what happened. We need to get in front of this. And we're like, we know you were at Laird and Gabby's. And I was like, no, we were playing basketball. And they're like, no one blows out their knee and breaks their arm playing basketball.
And what? You didn't maybe fully know this. Because I saw the footage and I was like, because they called us and said they're not going to come. They're going
to
do basketball.
He goes to dunk, and he's fat. He's like 290 at the time. And so he goes to jump, and his patella ruptures. Yeah. So it gives out, and he goes to catch himself on his arm, and it breaks in half and goes behind his back.
And it's all filmed. So I saw it, and I was like, they should have come to our house.
Yeah, luckily I was there to reset his arm.
Was he in tears?
Oh, look at, nice, Laird. Babe.
Sorry.
He was broken. He was in tears the next day going to the hospital in a medevac van.
Yeah.
It is the reason I love him. Like, we got in the van and there's this dude with a ponytail smoking a cigarette. Tom's in a wheelchair and because he checked himself out of the first hospital. Arm in the cast, not like in like a mobile cast, knee out in a wheelchair. I'm in there. It's height of COVID. We both have masks on. And the guy goes, so what do you guys do for a living? And I go, we're comedians. I go, Tom, tell him a joke. Tom goes, is like almost in tears. He's like having the worst day of his life. So then we go into Cedars-Sinai. And we walk in, and it's height of COVID. They're like, it's going to be like a four-hour wait. And Tom's like, what the fuck we do? And this is the perfect definition of our relationship. I just go, don't worry. I lower my mask, and I start making eye contact with all the dudes in there that work behind the thing. Uh-huh. Eyes light up. They're like, it's a machine. Oh, shit, that's Tom Segura. I go, lower your mask, Tommy. Tom lowers his mask. And I go, it's Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. Let's get him into a bedroom. And so we waited 5 minutes. I'm sure
that's,
that
I mean, that's pulled, the only yeah, reason the to card. Have this job yeah. Yeah. is to get good, get into restaurants when they're booked.
Yes. And, get and good, definitely get a hotel,
and get good and, tickets and, at sporting events.
And get an emergency
medical care.
Yeah, right.
And the best part about having this job is that I know you guys. I'm being dead serious. This is like, I'm just bummed Leanne's not here. I am too.
You know how I feel about Leanne.
I do. I absolutely do. So,
Leanne and I are going to redo. We're going to have to.
Let's do a date night one night. Let's do it. I would love that. I would love that because I'm healthy around you guys.
Yeah, and we're not. It's like you can do what you want.
I know.
Like I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do what you want if you want to go against all your guilt and stuff.
Laird will just be like, you're going to eat that?
Laird goes, wow, he's going to eat two of those, huh? Wow. Oh, I have seven beers, everybody.
I mean, actually, if you start, just go all the way.
Yeah,
you
might as well.
Like, do pizza, do a case, do the wine, too. Like, if you're going to go, and then look at Laird.
I told Gabby when I'm talking about, you know, I'm in a hole. You know, I'm with the shovel. I just kind of start going like this. And just,
he knows something
about
that.
You throw the dirt on your head. You just kind of, you're just like, let me
like, he'll make a comment, like a marital comment, you know, and he'll be like, I can see that he realizes that I'm like, that kind of not a great comment, and then he thinks, fuck it, and just goes all the way.
Yeah,
and you're gonna see him like just
while I'm here.
Just like,
I mean, while I,
yeah, he just, I mean, he's like
nothing like getting punishment for kind of being in trouble. You might as well just
listen. If you're gonna clean the garage, might as well open the garage door.
That's right. He does the whole
get the blower.
Thing. Yeah, and then I think it's funny because then I watch him and I go, check this guy out right now. Just fucking blowing all the. And then this is another thing that he'll do. He'll be like, oh yeah, you think that? Oh, you don't respect all this, huh? File it. Just file that away in that cabinet up there. Just file it. And he does like the file cabinet. And I'm just like, this is getting even better right now. You know?
I'm going to do that to Leanne.
Just go file that. And I was
stuff
like,
that thing in that drawer.
Yeah,
let me know how that goes.
All right. I'm planning a double date.
Well, thank you for coming first. What a treat.
Yeah. So much for coming over and doing this. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, Bird.
I appreciate you guys. Way more.
I don't know why it took so long.
And keep taking care of yourself enough.
Yeah.
Rogan saw me to stand up and he goes, you're too jacked now. You got to put your shirt on. You're too jacked. Your shoulders are distracting.
That's what's going to happen.
I hope.
You can't get too rich.
I hope. I'll find out. I'll tell you what.
That's not funny, Bert.
I will find out. I would rather be healthy and someone goes, yeah, he's not funny anymore.
You got a lot of work to do.
I don't think that's going
to. I think I'll, oh yeah. I could always just put a fucking shirt on. Psych. Anyway, great episode of Something's Burning. Gabby Reese, Laird Hamilton, thank you guys. Thank you. This episode was brought to you by The Machine.